Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Are the Calgary Flames back? Sure looked like it on Tuesday night, didn't it, Flames fans? Good evening and welcome to, a late edition of Flames Unfiltered as, this week is not gone as planned at all. Usually record Wednesday nights live, 8 Mountain Time, so all the Flames fans can listen, but that night, it wasn't happening. I've been sick all week. Was going to do it last night, and that also didn't happen. This morning is the first time that I have been upright for 2.5 days. And that sucks because I miss work. I miss literally from the time the Flames beat the Panthers, which usually would have me up and going and good. I've been down for the count. And I apologize for that. But there is certain times you just cannot go in the air. And I wasn't gonna be able to do it, and again, I apologize for that. Man, it's great to see the Flames play like they played against Florida. It looked like the team we saw in the early parts of the year, and it brought back some memories, and it brought back that feeling again, that feeling in our gut that this team is good. This team is good. I liked every part of that game. Now, I'm not going to get my hopes inflated and start thinking we're cup contenders or anything like that. But it was a good feeling. And hopefully it's a stepping stone, like many of the players said in post-game conversation. Today, there's a lot to talk about on the show today. NHL stuff and Flame stuff, and finally next week we're going to be back to a normal schedule, as the schedule has been updated, and it's going to be damn busy starting tomorrow night with the Battle of Alberta, and then from there on it's I believe it's Monday, Thursday, it's busy. I don't know the exact, it's busy, where we're going to be playing 4 or 3 Flames games virtually every week from here on out. So it's going to be difficult. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be lots to talk about on the show. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's just going to be good to have some normalcy back on it, because this not playing is just, God, it's just got me all up in sorts. And it's really been hard to manage a steady flow. I apologize on the show. I probably won't sound like I normally do. I'm struggling, but want to get this show in because there's a lot of good stuff to talk about on this show. We are going to recap that Ottawa game. We're going to talk about the Florida win. We'll talk about recent line shuffles, and then we'll discuss the Johnny Gaudreau dilemma because there's some decisions that have to be made. Then we'll roll into some Flames news, discuss the All-Star game, schedule changes, cap space available for the Flames, and then we'll take a look at the Pacific, run down the standings, take a look at some COVID guidelines. Evander Kane is in the news again, and then a night for Timo Meier that he will never forget, and many of us will not forget either, because it had me watching. We will close with a listener question and preview tomorrow night's Battle of Alberta. All right, Flames fans. Struggling like the Flames have struggled the whole month of December, huh? Flames back at it at home in front of a miserable crowd, which I'm not blaming the fans, I'm blaming the government. All right, Ottawa comes into town Thursday night, January 13th, which seems like a long time ago now, a week ago. And outshoot the Flames, 34-28. I'm not going to talk about this game much because this game pissed me off. Ottawa wins 4-1 when Nick Paul is a guy we got to be worried about. It's a disgrace. It is a disgrace. Matt Murray looked like an all-star goalie, which also pisses me off because he's a joke. Markstrom did not look anything close to an all-star goalie, which frustrated me. And, yeah, just a bad night. Let's talk about the good. Well, there was a game that was supposed to be played last Thursday night at home. Vegas was supposed to be in town. That was postponed. Then came this Tuesday, the 18th, when the Florida Panthers, the red-hot Florida Panthers, they've been kicking everybody, including kicking the Oilers' ass last night, 6-0, which was really, really, really fun. And since set Edmonton into a more of a tailspin. Jacob Markstrom in net against Spencer Knight, who I think Spencer Knight's was a decent goalie. And I don't blame this, and I don't pin this on them. I don't think Florida was as good as the Florida team, obviously, we saw in Florida. I think it was nice to see their whole lines with Sam Bennett back in Calgary. And we saw the whole Florida Panthers. I thought Barkov looked a little off his game that night. Huberto was engaged, but not as effective, obviously, as he was in the shit kicking last time we played Florida. Calgary jumps up to a 2-0 lead in the first with goals from Rasmus Anderson on the power play, which was a good power play goal and a power play goal that Rasmus Anderson needed. He needed to jump into the play. He needed to be aggressive and he needed to do what he did there. And it was a good rebound goal. And that got the Flames up 1-0. Blake Coleman kind of scored a screwy triple pass, good play from Andrew Mangiapane and Michael Backlund at the 11:36 mark, and it's 2-0 Flames, and things look really good. But the thing I like watching as this game went on is the shot counts for Florida were not high. They ended at 29, which is, I always say, 30 and below is a benchmark we want to be at, right? And the Flames ended up with 31, and the Flames were aggressive. They were aggressive this whole game. Sam Bennett did bring it to a one-goal game at the 12:36 mark of the second, and of course, you knew that was going to happen, right? I should have put a shit ton of money on it in Vegas because every time an ex-Flame comes into Calgary, it's almost a guaranteed goal. But he gets 16th. Wow, I would have given my right arm for him to score 16 in Calgary. Crazy. Then another, well, I shouldn't say miracle. I've been too tough on him this year. Sean Monahan gets a power play goal at the 16:03 mark, a really, really nice goal. And that's his fifth on the year, and the Flames are back to a two-goal lead, 3-1. Matthew Tkachuk scores a tip-in goal at the 3:47 mark of the third, where he reached behind him and tipped it forward into the net. It was amazing. It was so Tkachuk-like. His 17th on the year, great goal, puts the Flames up 4-1. And Sean Monahan gets his second of the game, the 6:43 mark, an even strength goal. Sean Monahan scores two goals in one game. The Flames beat the number one team in the National Hockey League, the Florida Panthers. Jacob Markstrom looks really, really good. And holy cow, everything's good in Calgary. The Flames are back on track. Is that how it is? I don't know. But you know what? It wasn't so much that we beat Florida. It was how we beat Florida. It was damn impressive. All right, let's talk line shuffle. And we've shuffled them up a little bit. The lines for Florida look like this. Gaudreau, Lindholm, and Tkachuk, which has been pretty normal. Backlund, Mangiapane, and Coleman. Monahan, Dubé, Lucic. Richardson, Richie, and Lewis. Hanifin, Anderson, which is normal. Shillington, Tanev, normal. Zadorov, Branson, normal. We're not talking about the defense right now. Let's talk about this shuffling of the second, third, and fourth line. I like it. I like it a lot. I believe this is a line chart that I gave out about four episodes on the show that I kind of wish they'd go to because I think it'll get Monahan a little bit more engaged. I also think it'll help with Backlund, too. And Backlund, centering Mangiapane and Coleman, all three good players. It gives us a much stronger top six, and this is a shutdown line of all shutdown lines that any NHL team would love to have. So I really, really like that. You compare that up against your opponents, and we're going to be having a ton of home games here soon, or now. So this is going to be effective. The third line, Monahan, Lucic, Dubé. Hey, it worked in the playoffs against Winnipeg. It did. Do you remember? It did. And maybe it'll get... Dubé's been a real letdown for me, so we'll see what happens there. Lucic has been kind of non-existent lately without his physical play, which he's been definitely engaged there. So that line, we'll see what happens. Now Monahan, heck, he's coming off a two-goal game. Tough telling what he'll do in the Battle of Alberta. Maybe a hat trick, huh? I'm joking. I'm just happy that we got Monahan on the board, and maybe we can get something with a little bit of consistency rolling. And Richardson centering Richie and Lewis. Eventually, I'd love to see us add a top nine forward on the wing, move Lucic down to the fourth line and get Richie off of there, and then kind of roll with that. But, God, maybe the trade deadline will bring us that. I don't know. Many people in Calgary are screaming about the fact that we need to infuse youth. And I'm going to talk here for about 5 minutes about some of the bitching, I guess you'd say, that's in the market that was happening. Much of it was put out before the Florida win, because it's funny how, you know, seasons change on three periods of hockey, right? But many people, you know, screaming for us to see Jacob Pelletier, who leads the rookies in American Hockey League with 31 points. And I'm not saying I wouldn't want to see that too. And But if we do see that, he's got to go into a top six spot. Cause there's no sense to me in bringing him up or at least a top nine spot. There's no sense of bringing him up and putting him on the fourth line like we've done to Godden and not giving him a chance. Do I think he's ready? No, I don't. I know many of you guys will disagree with me on this one, but I don't like rushing youth. And everybody says, well, we rush them in Calgary all the time, and then we end up losing them. Well, you know what? None of the youth in Calgary lately have been worth a shit. I'm sorry. It's the truth. Our drafting in Calgary has been god-awful for 20 years. We've hit on a few. Yeah, we hit on Gaudreau. Yeah, we hit on Tkachuk. Didn't hit on Bennett. Maybe could have. I don't know. But we have not done well as a whole, as an organization. And we're struggled over the last decade because of it, right? You got to draft. You got to have, you know, like some of these teams, their third line or fourth line, they got guys on entry-level contracts that are just tearing it up. And we don't have that luxury in Calgary. We don't. Will we ever? I don't know. Maybe. I'd love to see a Connor Zary step in and play and be productive. And I'm not writing off Jacob Pelletier. But right now, with where we're at, I don't know when the time is now. I don't know. I remember when we were on our cup run in 89 and a young Theo Fleury was the guy we infused. I don't know. Maybe Jacob Pelletier is Theo Fleury. God, did I just make that comparison? That's so unfair. I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. But people bitch that our management doesn't want to trade our picks and prospects. Well, nobody wants a lot of them. Or prospects, at least. Or picks. Well, God, we need to finally start drafting some decent players, and we can't draft. We don't have any picks, right? Everybody bitches that Treliving and Sutter don't want to call up any prospects. Well, who are we going to bring up? It's going to be better. Maybe Pelletier. I don't know. Ruziska hasn't turned the meter, has he? And everybody will say, oh, you gave him 3 games. Well, geez, did he do anything in those 3 games? He looks scared out there. Looks like a completely different player than when I watch him play in Stockton. People bitch that he hasn't traded any of the core and shaken up this roster. Well, he has moved a few people, and I'm not completely defending him. I thought maybe this year would have been a Gaudreau trade, which, God, thank God we didn't. But, you know, you say, well, why isn't he trading Monahan? Well, he hasn't traded Monahan because nobody wants Monahan. You can't trade turds. Right now, we're not going to be able to trade Monahan because nobody wants him at $6 million. We haven't addressed scoring on the right side. No, we haven't. But what are we going to give up to address scoring on the right side? And what the heck was Blake Coleman brought in for? Did everybody just forget that we brought him in to score goals too? People bitch Valimak, he's too valuable to trade. Well, I don't know. Is he? I don't know that they wouldn't entertain thoughts of trading Valimaki right now. People say Gaudin, Phillips, Ruziska, and Mackey. We're going to season them right out of their prime and into free agency. Well, Mackey's going to get to play this year because injuries aren't going to happen. And I think Mackey's ready to play. Ruziska hasn't shown me anything. Phillips hasn't shown me anything. And neither has Gaudin. Now, Gaudin and Phillips haven't got probably the chance they deserve or probably will get. But I guess time will tell on that one right now. But people scream for the youth. Well, I don't know. Are we ready for the youth in Calgary? Because they don't look very good. Because if they were good, they'd be on the roster right now. And I don't mean to be negative about our prospects, but God, they're not very strong. Look at the hockey news and they come out with their prospect issue. We're at a C or a D every single year. And that's what we've got. C or D prospects. Something needs to change in this organization. All right, Flames fans, the Johnny Gaudreau dilemma. And everybody's like, what are you talking about, the Johnny Gaudreau dilemma? He's having one of his best years. And he is, and that's probably the dilemma. Because if he's going to have a crappy year this year, we'd just move him. And we wouldn't worry about it. But now we got to worry about, what do? Do we re-sign this guy? Do we let him go to free agency and lose him for nothing? Do we move him before the deadline? Even though we're going to be a playoff team, I would think. I don't know. And what do you re-sign this guy at? He's 28 years old. He's getting 6.75 right now. And according, since 2017, a soft fact here, the Johnny Gaudreau is the 21st highest point per game pace and the 9th most in points. The projected salary for that is $9 million. I don't want him at 9. Do you want him at 9? I love the way he's playing this year. I do. But until he can answer the, can he play in the playoffs to me? And I had a friend of mine argue with me, well, look at his points in the playoffs. They're not bad. And you know what? They're probably not. But his intensity level and the way he plays is not Stanley Cup win mode. It's not. It's just not. Can it be this year? I don't. He proved me wrong in this regular season this year, hasn't he? I don't know why it can't be in the postseason. Is he playing like he's playing this year because it's his contract year? I don't know. Players do that. Is Johnny Gaudreau that type of guy? I don't know. I don't think he just has an off switch. I would pray he doesn't have an off switch that you just shut that off. I don't know. Maybe. I guess time will tell, won't it? With talks that Giroux's heading out of Philadelphia, is Johnny Gaudreau set to end up in Philadelphia or New Jersey, where he grew up? He says he loves it in Calgary. Who am I to say he's lying? Do you think he wants to stay here? I don't know. I'd say I'm 50-50 on that. How much would you pay him? I don't know. I think I would do 6 years at 7.5. And if he wants more than that, then I'm sorry. Then you're just going to have to go get it somewhere else. We've got way too many guys to sign to give him more than that. Does he deserve it with his production this year? Probably. Does he deserve it with his production over the last 3 years? Probably not. I love the way he's playing right now. And I almost knew that this dilemma was going to be created because, God, this is so Calgary-ish, isn't it? But when you get guys like Tkachuk, Shillington, Mangiapane to sign, and you got Gaudreau sitting there too, and you're like, well, I'm not going to have the cap space to do all this. And for me to sit here and say, well, maybe Johnny's the guy that's got to go, sounds freaking ridiculous since he's tearing it up this year. It does. I'd sound crazy. But if you might lose him anyways, is it the guy that might have to go? Because there's a chance that at the end of the year, he just says, peace out. I'm out. Have a good day. We don't know. Can we afford to lose him for nothing? That scares the hell out of me. That's Calgary-like, isn't it? So what do you do if you're Brad Treliving? Do you go out and get a Hurdle who's a UFA that's going to want money? And then if Gaudreau decides to walk, you fill that position with Hurdle by re-signing him? I don't mind that idea. I don't know what we'd have to give to get him. I think it might be a lot. There's talk that Claude Giroux is going to be out of Philadelphia. I don't know that I want Claude Giroux. Do you guys want Claude Giroux? I'm back and forth on it, but I don't think I do. The guy I'm into getting is Tyler Toffoli. I think he's a stopgap right now that fills a void that we need bigger than life. I think he helps his team out a ton. I think Hurdle would too, but I think Tyler Toffoli would too. He's played for Sutter too. Don't forget that. I don't know. I love Johnny Gaudreau this year. I didn't love him last year. I ripped on him frequently. I love how he's producing. And if he could produce like this all the time and produce like this in the playoffs, I'd have no problem opening the bank up for him. But right now, not knowing what we've got and what lies ahead, I'd tell him, hey, I'll give you 6 years, 7.5. Take it or leave it, I guess. Because I'm afraid if we go higher than that, you might as well say goodbye to Matthew Tkachuk then. Or Mangiapane, for that matter. It's got to fit in the cap, guys. It's got to fit in the cap. And I love the way he's playing. And I don't want to lose him. But boy, do we have a dilemma in Calgary now.
Hey, hockey fans. Check out the Debate Hockey Podcast. Hosts Brad Brood and Blake Fryers debate all the happenings throughout the hockey world every single week on the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Time for a little bit of Flames news. Yeah, it's been one of those days. It's been one of those weeks. We're talking all-star selections. Calgary has one guy, the guy we just got done talking about, Johnny Gaudreau, will represent the Calgary Flames in Vegas. I'll tell you what I think of the all-star game. I think it sucks. I think it's stupid. I think it's dumb. And, yeah. And I also think Jacob Markstrom should be on the team. I'm happy he's not because I'm always afraid of goaltenders getting injured in that style of play. So, you know what? I'm glad he's going to get some rest that weekend. Thatcher Demko for Vancouver gets the spot, which, whatever. He's been good this year. But look at these numbers. Markstrom, not .926 save percentage, 10th in the league. Demko's 21st in the league with .917. And Gibson, the other guy going, his goalie, is 21st in the league with .917. Goals against average, Markstrom's 2.15, which is 7th in the league. Demko, 2.64. Gibson, 2.64. Wins, Markstrom, 12, 14th in the league. 15 for Demko, 8th, and then 12 for Gibson, 14th for Anaheim. 5 shutouts for Markstrom, 1 for each of the other two. I don't know. I think Markstrom, I'd take Markstrom as my goalie over the other two any day. And I'm not going to lose sleep over this because, quite honestly, like, do we want Markstrom going through that abuse and the 3-on-3 and skills and stuff? I don't know. I want a healthy Markstrom because I think I'd put him up against anybody in the league, wouldn't you? Flames schedule. Boy, it got a facelift this week. Yes, it did. I got to print it off again for my notes. And look like about 14 games. Is it 14? The change? 12. 12 games change. And we're going to be busy. Some weeks where there's three, some weeks where there's four games, more back-to-backs. Lots of Flames hockey ahead. Not a lot to talk about with the schedule change other than, you know what, I'm just happy that we finally have a schedule in stone. I'm happy that we know when we're playing now and that we will be playing these games. And we don't have to look and open up our schedule every day and being like, oh, Flames aren't playing now. Flames aren't playing this week. Flames aren't doing this week. Now we know when they're playing. The trade deadline gets closer. Cap space right now, we have currently set at 1.5 available projected cap space. Ryan Pike put out a tweet and they could add up to $8.4 million. 2.8 million. What am I saying? Jesus. If they wait till deadline, they could accumulate up to 7.6. The longer they wait, the more they'll be able to do. So that's nice. But then the longer you wait, you might run out of that guy. But with the cap games you can play by sending people up and down, you can bank cap, I guess it would be the easiest terms for layman's. I'm not a capologist. I follow Cap Friendly frequently, and I kind of understand it, but... if we could get it up to 7.6 before deadline, look what that opens the door for, right? That would be amazing. Some news from in the division. NHL has changed its COVID testing, and it will be changed at All-Star break. From the time from All-Star break on, the NHL will only be testing asymptomatic players. Will only test symptomatic players, not asymptomatic. Instead of random testing of everybody, they're only going to test people that show signs or symptoms of COVID. Or if you're traveling between games in Canada and the U.S. And there lies another disadvantage for the Calgary Flames. We are going to have to be tested way more than any other American teams, thus open the door for us to have more positives. Now, I don't know, and I would like to get clarification, is if the 90-day rule is still in effect and that the Flames do not have to test from 90 days of when they tested positive. If that's the case, Calgary should be okay for some time. And we need that. So it's another disadvantage for Canadian teams. Where do we sit with the standings in the Pacific right now? As we stand on a Friday morning, I usually do this show on Wednesday. For me to say Friday, that sounds so crazy. Vegas leads the Pacific with 50 points in 41 games. Los Angeles Kings in second, 45 points, 41 games. Anaheim, 45 points in 42 games. San Jose, 44 in 41. Calgary sits in fifth right now, 42 points, just 35 games. And Vancouver in sixth, 39 points, 39 games. Edmonton, 38 points, 36 games. Seattle down at the bottom, 28 points in 39 games. If we went off points percentage, Calgary would still be in second. Oh, man, what a mess. Being this far behind on points at this point, or not points, games played at this point, which Calgary sits 6-7 behind most teams, one behind Edmonton, three behind Vancouver, Seattle, but most of the top teams in the division were, 6 to 7 games behind. That's 14 points, and we'll win them all. That puts us in first by a lot, but I don't think that'll happen. It's tough to see and get a measuring stick because we're reaching about the halfway point. We're going to talk about that on next week's show. It's tough to decipher that and to figure out where exactly where we're at, where we are on the measuring stick. And I don't know. There's nothing really we can do about that. It is just what it is. Evander Kane in the news again, as he looked like all signs pointed him to sign with the Edmonton Oilers. Like, I don't know if they need to bring a problem like him in right now. I don't think they have enough problems, but he would bring them some top end scoring. and give them some more upfront depth. Let's face it. I'd love his play in Calgary. I just wouldn't want him in Calgary. But that kind of got nixed when it was reported that the NHL is investigating him again for taking a flight from the U.S. to Canada while he was still under AHL COVID protocol. And now the Canadian government's investigating him for coming into the country within the time frame under 14 days of testing positive. So now he's in trouble there too. This guy's just in trouble everywhere. Now the talk of this has really died in the last 4 or 5 days. No suspension has been announced, but no signing has either. So that has kind of went real quiet. Other San Jose Sharks news on Monday night. Timo Meier, 5 goals in a 6-2 win over the LA Kings. He had a period and a half to get his 6th goal. Could you imagine that? 5 goals, though. It just rattled him off, 1, 2, 3. And you know what? He's been a secret player this year. He's 8th in the NHL in points at 45, and he's 8th in the league in goals at 20. Did you ever see that coming? Because I sure didn't, and I don't think many people did. It's just... it's crazy. Good for him. He's been a bright spot for the Sharks this year, which that team's been kind of a bright spot as they currently sit in 4th place in the Pacific. And they're a team that, you know, we talk about going and getting Hurdle. Well, why would they give up Hurdle? They're ahead of us in the standings. I know the game's playing. Things got things screwed up. Is this team really a team that could squeak into the playoffs and make some noise? I don't know. But you know what? I don't know what happens with this team and where it goes. But I guess we'll see. As the Sharks have been a team that has surprised many. Let's move on to our listener question. As I struggle through this show, Cindy Marquette from Regina, Saskatchewan, sent me a question for this week. And the question is, will Calgary have troubles and difficulties signing free agents now and in the future due to the arena debate, COVID regulations, Canadian taxes, and the cold factor in Calgary? My answer is for sure. For sure. We've always had the Canadian cold factor. We've always had the small market. I think those are actually ones that can be overcome. Calgary is a beautiful city, a great place to live, and a great place to raise your family. So I think those are overcomable. I think what hurts players signing in Calgary or any Canadian market for that matter, the taxes. Taxes do not help at all. And two factors that probably were, well, I know they weren't factors, but are factors now in Calgary are what I call the COVID factor. Players do not want to be locked down. Players do not want to live without their freedoms. And the way the Canadian government has handled this, players are living without their freedoms right now in Canada, and they're not in the U.S. Call that crazy, call that insensitive, call me crazy for saying that or saying that I aren't following the ways. I don't know. You can say whatever, but it's a factor. And you can pretend it's not, and you can say it's not, but if you ask the players, it's a factor. They want to live life normal, and their families do too. The arena deal. I don't think this team's leaving Calgary. It's not helping. Let's put it this way. It's not helping that our arena deal isn't in place. I don't know if it's a game breaker hurting-wise. I know it's not helping, and I hope this city government and the Flames organization, ownership organization, can figure this one out sooner rather than later, because the team deserves a new arena. The cities of Calgary deserves a new arena. They both do. And let's hope that cooler heads prevail and they can both come together and accomplish that.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
And we're trudging along in the show. I know I sound horrible. I'm sorry. Trying to get through it. It's going to be a little shorter than normal just because, I think you understand, right? You understand, don't you, Flames fans? All right, let's talk Battle of Alberta. Tomorrow night, the 22nd, in Edmonton at the Rogers Place, the Edmonton Oilers, who are currently sitting in 7th place in the Pacific at 18-16-2, 38 points. Yeah, we were just talking about them being first in the Pacific. Oh, they take on the Flames in the second of four meetings this year. The first meeting was the very first game of the season, also at the Rogers Place, a 5-2 Edmonton victory, and a night that I know as a Flames fan, when I got done watching it, I was like, this is going to be another bad year. And literally from that night on, like 180, switched, we got back on track, and we were fine. So going into this game now tomorrow, with Edmonton being so awful lately, coming off a 6-0 drudging of the Florida Panthers, in which Koskinen was awful, they have the Draisaitl fight with the reporter, they have everything you could possibly imagine bad in Edmonton is there right now. The players' anger factor is through the roof. The media's anger factor, the management's anger, everybody is just, ugh. I guess they're pissy, right? They're pissy, right, Flames fans? Do you want to be playing them now or not? I think if we win, it's like, oh, yeah, we really stick it to them. But, boy, you lose this game now, does that change Edmonton's whole season? It has that feeling. Now, I don't think it changes their shitty goaltending. But I don't know, man. This is like, just with the doctor order, if Edmonton wins, and it's just what the doctor didn't order if Calgary go into their home barn and lay the leg of the bacon on them. And I don't know. It's a scary one. It's scary anytime you play Edmonton. You don't want to lose. But boy, could we really, really pour salt in a wound tomorrow night. Calgary back at it again Monday night, the 24th, as the St. Louis Blues visit the Saddle Dome. St. Louis currently 51 points, 23-11-5, second in the Central. First of three meetings with the Blues of this year. And then Wednesday night, Calgary travels to Columbus. Columbus currently sits 35 points, 17-18-1, fifth in the Metro. A first of two meetings. The first original one in Calgary was postponed on December 18th. We will be recording our show right after this game next Wednesday night, the 26th. And then the streak gets going where, yeah, lots of Flames hockey. And I don't know. I'm excited for a Battle of Alberta tomorrow night. I don't know how you feel. It should be a lot of fun. Apologize again for the late go this week on the show with me feeling like garbage and everything. I wanted to get a show out today is what I wanted to do, because I hate going a week without a show and I had content I wanted to talk about. And apologize it's a little shorter. Apologize for my voice sounding like it is and looking the way I look, I guess. But I don't know. I just wanted to get it out there for you. We're back next week. We'll be doing a show right after the Calgary-Columbus game live. Let's hope we're talking about a Battle of Alberta win and maybe rolling off some wins in a row. Wouldn't that be great? Check out flamesunfiltered.com for all your information you need on the Flames and the podcast. Please stay healthy, safe, smiling. Flames winning, yeah. Final thought as we leave you, Theo Fleury. I know many people find him very controversial in Canada. He's always my favorite Flame. I loved his work ethic. I love what he stands for. I love what he's overcome in life, and he's a good role model, and he says it like it is. And you can either hate that or love that. I guess it's everybody's opinion, right? We're okay to have opinions, right? Tweet from him this week. It says, can someone tell me the difference between Don Cherry's "you people" and Justin Trudeau's "these people"? One doesn't have a job anymore, and one is our prime minister. Think about that one, Flames fans. Hey, let's enjoy the Battle of Alberta. It's going to be a big one tomorrow night.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter, at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page, at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Bruin on Twitter, at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey action.
Play on! Yeah, baby! Play on! Yeah, baby!
Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk. This episode of Flames Unfiltered was copyrighted and produced by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.